Hello, and welcome to the German New Medicine Stories podcast. May listening bring liberation and lightness to your healing journey. Please note that nothing that I or any of my guests say here is or should be misinterpreted as medical information or advice. These are personal stories, not prescriptions. So today, I'm sharing an interview with a woman that most of you probably already know and love, Kori Milloy. She is, a well-known in the internet, Instagram sphere of kind of pro-metabolic health. And I came across her work about a year ago because someone sent me her page saying, she's talking about German New Medicine. And I've just wanted to talk with her since. I super resonate with her work and appreciate so much her focus, not just on nutrition alone, but on these like very important pillars of, how can you create a family culture that is, oriented towards health, that I would say, from looks very, that is biological, right? That is like respecting and aligning with the biological patterns, the way of life that are conducive, to, minimal conflict and swift conflict resolution for, parents and for children. I mean, I can't help but see the opposite, right? Because when I work with a lot of women one-on-one, a lot of mothers, and so a lot of insight into, let's say, like family, like certain lifestyle patterns, certain like family structures that tend to be not conducive to resolving conflicts, tend to create a lot of conflicts. And so I think what Kori is offering, so much of what Kori is offering is this vision, this embodiment of what a kind of like biological pattern, let's say, of a family. I think she uses the word like family ecology, looks like, feels like, what the daily rhythms are like. And so I've loved watching her stuff from afar on the internet, and it was lovely to connect with her in real time and hear, some of her own GNM stories and how she's kind of woven this into her work. And yeah, I'm sure if you don't already, you will totally love her after this conversation. So go to the show notes and you will find her website and her Instagram and all the ways to connect with her. So I hope you enjoy and let me know what you think.
Yeah. Okay. So my name's Kori and I have been in, let's say, like the metabolic and holistic health space online since like 2018, 2019, but then released my first online offering in December of 2020. And so the realm and the scope that I was in was very much like repeat. And I integrated some pieces of like Weston A. Price and Hans Selye, just these people that have this beautiful, I don't know if you're familiar with repeat, but he had a really amazing ability to see like a big picture and holistic realm of hormones and just the cellular expression of the body. And so I feel like he just was this amazing gateway for me to like be able to land in these pieces of expanding from there. But essentially how I even got into that space is I had an experience in 2016, 2017 reversing endometriosis. And so when I was diagnosed with endometriosis, from the realm of GNM, like to look back in that space, oh my gosh, it really is that simple. Like, oh my gosh, which I can expand on a little bit. But essentially, I'll just expand on it now. Why not?
Yeah.
I was a sports performance coach, only female in my space working with men, like male colleagues, and then also like male clients. And I was in my early 20s, newly married, and we moved to the city, and I basically would wake up very early in the morning, drive like while it's still dark outside, kind of show up in this like warehouse kind of like cave environment, and then be with essentially men, like all day long and working with men. And it was very much like emasculine and like mechanical and structural environment, which invigorated a piece in me that is interested in organization and like the body, of course. And we'd worked with fascia and it was incredible. And then after a while, I felt myself bumping up against this idea of like, what even is my female space? I felt like my female space had no like room to even flow in there. I remember if I was on my period, like if I was on my bleed, are you kidding? Like everything was so secretive and everything was so hidden. And I had these ideas coming in of just like, how would I like have a child in this environment, and would I keep working, and like, what would things look like? Mm-hmm. And I simultaneously got off birth control, like sometime around that period. And suddenly these symptoms started increasing and increasing and increasing each month, but also simultaneously like in that environment and not actually feeling like I could thrive as a woman in that environment. And there's a little more like details and integration involved there, but basically it got to the point where I would have to, quote unquote, have to take off of work whenever I was bleeding to be at home and in my space. And for that, it was a lot of pain and a lot of blood and a lot of like blacking out, a lot of drama. Like I did a lot of drama with it. I even was calling my husband to come home from work and like support me and take care of me. And really probably what I wanted around was women. And then also just some element of connection with myself. My uterus was like, please pay attention to me, you know, just like, yeah, it was pretty incredible to like look back and see how much of that made so much sense at the time. Cause my period just became such a drama every single month that I needed time at home and time away from work and time to rest. And so, yeah, I basically, immediately was going to these conflicts of, am I going to ever be able to have children? Because like, I was starting to, you know, like these like fear complexes coming in. And I, with endometriosis, I started working with this practitioner. At this point, we moved to Florida. So started our own businesses, moved to Florida simultaneously during this time. And I got connected with the most incredible, incredible practitioner who really brought in a lot of bioenergetic and metabolic pieces without me knowing what he was speaking on. But he just pointed out estrogen being like through the roof and something to balance and then, you know, support the body's use of or production of progesterone. And so back then we went like the herbal supplement route to be able to bring my body back into balance. Mm-hmm. And I, within 2 months, was completely symptom free and then pregnant the next month and had never felt better. I just like couldn't even believe the body's innate healing design. And then that, of course, opened up my whole world to, okay.
And had you quit this like super masculine job as well?
Yes. Yes. Interesting. I quit the job, moved to Florida, had, but it's interesting because if we are three months, basically your cycle reflecting what was happening 3 months prior, my most painful cycles were actually in Florida after I moved, those three cycles after moving. And then started working with this practitioner and yeah, had incredible, at the time I was just like, this is like a miracle, like unreal.
Yeah.
And I, at the same time can look back objectively and be like, this timeline makes so much sense for how my body could like resolve some of these things and produce a better, like when I look at endometriosis, I'm like I was having a major conflict with like myself wanting to become a mother and like that not being an environment to bring a child in. And then also like complete cutting off of my feminine nature and who I am as a woman. And so, after my experience of reversing endometriosis, like diagnosed.
Just to clarify, you're saying like, so at the time it was like, oh my God, it's the nutrition, the supplements fully, like this was the thing. And that maybe retrospectively you're seeing there might've been a fuller picture. That there was 100%. Other elements creating that, you know, miraculous, let's say, resolution.
100%. And I feel like I went on the steps and the path that were quote unquote right for me at the time that I had awareness of at the time. That's why I love to hear people's journeys, because I'm like, oh, that makes so much sense that at this point you would be connected to this person and they would introduce you to this journey and blah, blah, blah. And I feel like I just needed to relearn trust in the body's innate self-regulating design. And that is what that experience gave me. And so then that, you know, essentially expanded my whole world to, okay, if my body can regress into something and then like reverse up into homeostasis, then what does a lifestyle and connection to our humanity and like essentially how is the human designed to live? And that is when I went in the whole world of Ray Pete and just loved his perspective of what that looks like. And essentially because the funny thing with endometriosis is, of course, it didn't stop there, quote unquote. Once I had reversed that, other things were popping up for me, such as a little thyroid thing here and there, or I even had some Hashimoto's markers come up when I was postpartum with my son. And so that was simultaneous of finding Ray's work. And I was finding that like, even just the smallest increments of pieces that I would integrate from a nutrition or a lifestyle point of view would just be like, my body would just like take it, receive it. And then I experience a lot of healing and resolving with those pieces alone. And so those next few years were just like this experimenting and bringing in information and wisdom, and then finally releasing a whole course on like bioenergetic health and life and metabolic health. And so that was 2020 of December. And that actually, like right after I released my course, which is funny, right after I released my course in 2020, it was early 2021 when I had a really good friend, my next door neighbor. I think she had the book Messages of the Body. And there was some symptom that had come up for me. And she goes, let me go look in my book and see if any of it resonates. And she like comes out with her book, which I just love so much when I look back on this. She like comes out with this book and we're in the cul-de-sac and it's so cute. And she reads me this thing and I go, no. I was like, doesn't resonate. No. It just like went right out of my awareness, just in one ear and out the other. I actually just told her the story the other day of how like if she had sat there just 2 years later, we would have had a totally different conversation. But I felt like my awareness wanted to be closed to that new expansion, because that's a big step, both in your self-responsibility as a human and then also be able to expand beyond, you know, what you're teaching and what you're taking in. And my entire I had a containment of awareness of I didn't realize it had a glass ceiling on it. I felt so expansive and open at the time, not realizing that thing can just keep opening the more open we are in life. And so, that was in early 2021. And basically what I was starting to experience was I had this scope that was very like holistic, what I thought, quote unquote, at the time, where if something came up, it felt very capable. Like I felt capable, quote unquote, to be able to rebalance and yada, yada, yada. And then there would just be like an acute season every once in a while where something would not, the needle would not move. And I was noticing the same kind of conversations come up in my space where, let's say 99% or 98% of women were having these beautiful healing experiences. There was a small percentage of something that I felt intuitively was like a needle that needed to move. And that was beyond just the nutrition and the lifestyle and the supplements. And I felt it myself. And I also felt like when I look back on that experience, I'm like, that makes so much sense that I needed to go step out and have an experience for myself and then bring that into my space, integrate it into my space. And then, just watch like the slow receiving of that expansion from there. And so my first, like, you know who it was? I think it was Samantha Naturally. Are you familiar with who that is on Instagram? Yeah. She was in my like field for a long time, and I really loved following her. And then I think she just posted on her stories one time about German New Medicine. Hmm. And I went to the website, and it just felt like an immediate download of like, this makes so much sense. It felt like, I feel like that website can be kind of, but people describe it as choppy. To me, I felt like I was reading like A plus B equals C. Like it was like, oh, it's my language. I speak this language. I speak this lingo. Immediate integration. And so I felt like it was this like back pocket tool, even though it made so much sense. I was like, back pocket tool. And, you know, if these things like don't work, quote unquote, I'm doing a lot of air quotes. I don't know if you guys, I'm assuming they can't see videos, but I'm doing a lot of air quotes. If these things don't move that needle, then I have this tool that I can pull out and like just kind of look at objectively. And I was doing that and had amazing experiences with like small, minor things, but still at the same time was like, what do I feel about like fungal things? And what do I feel about this? And in Hawaii, we have something called hale rot, which is a white fungal, it's tinea versicolor. And it quote unquote only appears on white people that move here. And
I wonder why.
And so it's pretty incredible to have like looked at the GNM. That was one of the first things I looked up, actually, because I was like, there's this thing that only white people get that are transplants here and don't have a sense of, we talked about this, biological belonging here and what shows up on their back. And anyway, so I was having these minor experiences here and there, but the first huge experience of like everything that I thought about fungus, everything that I thought about like this and that, and trying to address it with like, is it driven by estrogen? Is it driven by this? Is it driven by this? That all just dissolved like into an ocean in the best way. when my daughter was 9 months old. So that would have been, I guess that's like 2.5 years ago or 2 years ago. And do you want me to share that story?
Yeah.
So when my daughter was 9 months old, I was making a postpartum meal for a good friend that lived about 30 to 35 minutes away. And at this point, I hadn't spent more than maybe an hour away from my daughter. If I like went to the store and came back, I mean, at that point, like she's a part of me and I take her everywhere with me. And for this one time, it was a far drive. And so I was like, I'm going to leave her here with my husband. I'm just going to go drop off this meal and come back. So 35 minutes plus 35 minutes is obviously 70, already more than I've been away from my daughter before. But while I'm there, my friend is like, do you want to hear about my birth story? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I would love nothing more than to hear about your birth story. And so being able to hold that space for her and talk through her birth story. And before I knew it, it had been maybe like 3.5 hours, 4 hours that I was away from my daughter at this point, which in retrospect, we could have had that conversation energetically where I'm like, hey, I'm going to go for 4 hours and check in with her that way and feel that. And then felt intuitively at that point, if I want to bring her with me, and made a conscious decision that way. But at that point I was like, I'll be back in an hour. And then time goes on and time goes on and time goes on. So at one point my husband checks in at about the 3 hour mark. And he was like, hey, she's having a hard time. What do you want me to do? And I wasn't pumping any milk at that point. I didn't pump any milk this whole experience with my second born, because she just was always with me. I didn't really pump with my firstborn either. And we had a jar of raw goat's milk in the fridge. And I said, why don't you feed her some raw goat's milk? This is a super important bookmark for you guys to remember. And I was like, just feed her a little bit, see if she'll drink it. And then I'll come back and I'll nurse her, just experiment and see what it's like. So I come back and he says, hey, she kind of drank the raw goat's milk, but obviously really wanted you. And we come back together. A few hours later, I noticed that she has these white spots forming in her, like the roof of her mouth and on her tongue. And I'm like, hold on. I feel like that is that thing that I've always heard mothers talk about that's called thrush. And simultaneously, I started experiencing painful nursing sessions where it felt like a burning and stinging sensation, which is when the mother, quote unquote, has thrush. And I'm like, okay. So I, at that point, for whatever reason, I say for whatever reason, probably was blocking the tool to come in and look at German New Medicine, which would have been crystal clear and simple what was going on. And I'm like, oh, it's like a fungal thing. So I go and I'm like looking at like different sources on the internet, just like the classic. It's the classic mom thing of like, what do I have in my arsenal? What do I have? And then also to kind of like assuming that it's going to dissipate on its own. But days go by and it's getting worse and it's getting worse and it's getting worse and it's getting worse. And I eventually make a call to a chiropractor on island who does a lot of herbal and naturopathic things. I go up to his office, I get something for her, I take it, I'm giving her something, nothing is working. I call my midwife and she's like, oh, thrush, you just need to get this, this, and this, and then put it on the inside of her mouth. And it was, I'm pretty sure, like a prescription bottle of something, like something antifungal. And I remember getting the bottle and holding it in my hand and being like, there's no way that I'm putting this in my daughter's mouth. There's just like, I intuitively, like just holding it there to my heart space. I was like, no. So I just sat on my kitchen counter and I just was like, something obviously needs to move here, but I don't know what that is. And at this point, I think it was like 3 weeks now that she was experiencing thrush that was just like very, it's like the tissue is coming off and like it's getting everywhere. And once again, I'm having a lot of pain. And I just intuitively and instinctively felt like there was something more for me here. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, wait a second. German New Medicine, let me look at the website and just like, let me just like take a gander to see what it says. And it says right there with oral thrush and a baby, it's the distress of a baby not being able to get the milk morsel. It's like, is this going to come? Is this like, where is it? It's like, in particular, the healing phase of being in distress of wondering where is the milk morsel? Mm-hmm. So I am reading that and I'm like, okay, that makes so much sense. And then I have this memory come up immediately right after that of the fact that when I was 9 months old, my mother went on a trip and I never really thought about the trip part in my awareness up until this point. What I thought about up until this point was the fact that she told a lot of people the story about how she was going to go on a trip with my dad and leave me with the grandparents, with my older brother. And she wasn't going to be able to pump because she was going to be gone for a very long time. I think it was like 2.5 weeks or something. And so what she did was she went to go find a farmer. And what the farmer had was raw goat's milk. And so she had told this story many, many times that had imprinted in my brain of like, I drink raw goat's milk at 9 months old. And then I'm having this like massive aha download of, oh my gosh, when my daughter was 9 months old, I fed her raw goat's milk. And it was, we don't even have raw goat's milk in our arsenal regularly. We just so happen to have a friend's jar of raw goat's milk. We usually have raw cow's milk. And so the irony of all of that and the fact that I was having, and by the way, what I didn't mention is when I was over at my friend's house, I was starting to have this intense somatic experience of I need to get home to my daughter right now. Like it felt primal and overtaking. And so I remember it being distressing for me. So there's the conflict on my side.
The separation probably separation. It sounds like low grade mastitis, right?
Totally. And when I'm like, all of these aha moments are coming into play at one with just the fact that this was like a healing phase alone, but also there was something I knew that wanted to come into my awareness. And I felt like it was the piece where I realized I was the exact same age when my mother left. And how did that feel for me? And I felt like I got to experience this like recycling of like, this is maybe how it felt for me to not have my mother around and have this new milk. And it was incredibly healing of like getting to feel that feeling through the lens of my daughter showing me that. And we had this moment where literally I just brought it into my conscious awareness of like, that must've been hard. Maybe that was hard. Maybe I was missing my mom. And boom, conscious awareness. Within 2 hours, I like look in my daughter's mouth again, 'cause she's about to nurse. and that white is gone, completely gone. And
just to clarify, did you say anything out loud? Like, was this, you just had this internal experience in you?
You know, I may have said to my daughter, I think I said to my daughter, that must have been hard when I was gone, and I was gone longer than I thought I was going to be gone. Mm-hmm. And from now on, I'm going to tell you how long I'm going to be gone. We had a check-in where it was like a move towards strategy too, of like, this is how it's going to be. And I gave her a framework. And so I did speak that, but the piece that was the aha moment with myself as a baby, was entirely internal and just something I brought into my awareness of like, whoa. And then feeling that, and then having that moment with my daughter, and which is interesting because with GNM, it being the healing phase, it's almost like I felt like in retrospect, like when I look back, I'm like, it's almost like that was like her daughter, her body and my body wanted to express that longer for a reason. And I felt like it was that like awareness piece that needed to come in. And as soon as it came in, I was like done. And then my pain went away. Exactly. And so to watch that have just completely resolved in a couple hours, and then my pain completely gone after doing all the things and like the herbal stuff. And I didn't do the prescription stuff, of course, but it just didn't felt, I already knew that was a no, you know, so it wouldn't have, I don't think it would have worked anyways, or it could have worked, quote unquote. And then it wouldn't have invited me into that aha moment with my daughter that I felt was incredibly, powerful. So that was my moment of that dissolving of just like, okay, how I have seen this before is here's the scope of try all the things. I'm like holding up a ball basically, visually, but like, here's the scope of try all the things. And then over here is this small, small tool. And that was a whole reframe for me of everything feels very equal. Everything's feels very flowy. And yes, ultimately, on like the nutrition piece and where I stand now, as far as having a bioenergetic charge in the body and the like energy and capability to show up, and even cognitively, like have the awareness, be able to expand in these ways, like I still stand by all of that.
Yeah.
It's a reframe of like mind, body, spirit, and when everything just feels like it could just, flow in and out. And fear is just like, I'm amazed at like how that just, I didn't realize was in somewhat in the field of like, oh, it's this, maybe I wouldn't have consciously called it fear before, but the idea of like the body can just do something and then we just get rid of it. That is just not in my awareness anymore. It's the idea of everything makes actually so much sense. And what is the very good reason that our body is communicating this to us, and what can we learn about ourselves and even our ancestral experiences through these symptoms?
Oh, that's such a brilliant story. I love that happened for you. And I love that you share the piece too of the, like of the, of your own story with your mom. And I think, I mean, I love those stories and I can see that, like that rhythm in my own life. And I'm always like remembering this myself and like reminding the woman that I work with that, like, you know, the five biological laws, it's like one pattern within greater, like, I don't know, greater laws, greater patterns that I don't transcend time or something. And yeah, to not relate to it like dogmatically, like allow, like there's something to have the structure, like have the whole system, but then you need it so that it can then like direct the intuition and the creativity and those like those moments where everything clicks together. And I just love that. And we were discussing Gilbert before this, and I'll have to tell him that story on your behalf because he'll love it.
Please do.
So about, you know, those repeating patterns over generations, and if you start looking, you find them, and it's very interesting. Extremely trippy. I mean, for me, it's required, quite the like reorientation to life and this kind of this like symbolic worldview, this way of looking at my life, other women's lives, symptoms, the body, like realizing that that is how the you know, the subconscious, which is like, you know, our biological mind, speaks in like symbols and speaks in patterns that go beyond our one life. So yeah, that's such a good story.
It was the first, I would say, pattern, that is the exact word I would use to describe it. It was the first unconscious pattern where it's like, hey, we can just throw our hands up and these things will just come into our field, even if we're not trying. That was the first time I had witnessed something like that. And I mean, my daughter in many ways has, because she's my second born, has propelled so much reorienting in our family, period. But yeah, to have that experience.
Are you a second born, Corey? Do you know?
Yes, I was. Yes, I was. And that's funny because I didn't even come into the field of firstborn, secondborn in the sense of GNM and that lens until reading Joe Baer's work.
Yeah.
And and so that was interesting too, because my mentor, Michelle Chatham, who we created an offering with and a container with, these experiences of patterns, she has her own way of seeing like firstborns and secondborns. And so we worked in like a container mentorship with her, calibrating some of these patterns and bringing awareness to some of these patterns. It's like literally what we did in our mentorship was like bringing awareness to patterns. And so it's interesting that like propelled literally the work that we do with families today, because it was that powerful in our space. And we're like, this is for everyone to like bring their awareness into their own patterns and what their children are essentially just repeating in their generational line. Like, we have this tendency in our modern day to experience something with our children and feel that amygdala like fear and like, how do I fix this? And what could that look like to see it as an invitation instead and soften into that invitation?
I'm curious if you have any words of wisdom. I mean, I work with so many mothers and I mean, there's a lot of tension, a lot of tension around children with symptoms, around being the perfect mother. And, you know, I think especially because the Instagram realm, you know, paints a very particular image of, you know, like they're perfect at everything, right? Mm-hmm. And like, to me, I mean, it's very easy to like you can tell when someone gets German New Medicine, because if they really get it, then that fear and the panic and the tension around symptoms melts. And so like, if they're still, which is like so normal, I mean, it's like no judgment on how long this takes. Like, it takes as long as it takes. It took me a long time as well, where you're still like, okay, yeah, like symptoms are like for us and they're so intelligent, so smart, but like, I need mine gone right now.
100%.
You know, my children better not vomit one more time. And I like that, you know, it's fine. And to be able to like, I can still go there, you know, but that like the ultimate medicine that I'm always like, you know, trying to figure out like the smoothest way to impart that on someone is like, it's okay if your kid vomits, you know, and it's okay if your kid has thrush. It's okay if you have a symptom or whatever. Like, that's the real, like, that's when you get to the heart. So I'm just curious, like, as a mother yourself, how you do actually create that softening for yourself and the not resisting and the, because then you're actually also available for the intuition to come to you.
Totally.
So anyways, I'm just curious how you've navigated that yourself.
I do have words to share here when you phrase it this way, because what comes in for me is this idea of what is the larger context, and we'll call it unconscious too, motivating and driving factor beneath the questions that we ask. And for a lot of mothers, I would say, just in my experience of like being in the field of so many and watching them navigate through this and then bumping up those against those things in myself and calibrating those things, is that deep self of that deep sense of self-worth. And so a lot of mothers begin any process and journey not realizing that underneath some of those like initiations might be, okay, I'm going to go be perfect. I'm going to go be the perfect person, the perfect mother, because deeply underneath all these layers, that sense of identity and self-worth and belongingness and like trust in who I am as a human, that sense of knowing of yourself. And like, you know, we can expand that whole conversation into like, were those things spoken into you? Did you have your parents and your grandparents to like speak that identity over you? And this idea of, or was there a conflict there where you were trying to be the perfect person for your parents? And depending on what kind of behaviorist and blah, blah, blah. I mean, this really expands so much further into different webs of conversations, but essentially like bringing back yourself to the center of like, am I on this endeavor because it feels most safe for me in my body for my child to be in perfect health and for them to be perfectly behaved and for me to be in perfect health, and anything outside of that line, I feel like I am going to fall apart. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that that is something that is talked about enough, is that idea of these pursuits of the black and white. Because people can come from, let's say, the strictly diet realm, and they're like, I'm going to go expand to German new medicine. So let's just talk in like an example here. You can literally be taking that exact same framework and orientation around your black and white lens of life that's keeping you safe and keeping you perfect, and be placing it onto GNM. And it's almost manic in the way that if a symptom comes up, you're like, I have to fix this now. It's literally what we just talked about. Because why? Because like, if something is out of line, what does that give you? What does that experience give you? Does it drop your body into a state of collapse because you feel like, what is the point and what is the purpose and what is my worth and what is my identity? Those are the things that I think become incredibly medicinal for us to feel ourselves in that state and be like, because there is a difference. When we just talked about the amygdala thing, and my mentor talks about this a lot, and we talk about this in our Rooted Families container, that idea of your amygdala is fired up when something is wrong. In the same way that if you watched your child get like, I'll speak a little less colorfully, but like, let's say your child falls off a bike and there's that firing up of like, oh my gosh, okay, I'm going to go run to my child who is harmed or who is in pain. There's that element of like, let me go extend myself and help the situation. Some of those things are very primal and biological. At the same time, a lot of us can get stuck in this place of like fight or flight. And I think that's where it's really beautiful in the nutrition element and the hormone element of like, are we pursuing these places out of a drama addiction, the drama of conflicts, the drama of stress, the drama of feeling that like something's wrong with my child? That can literally come up as an addiction in your body if your body is living off of those stress hormones. Mm-hmm. And so just bringing back the picture to like, what is the core unconscious belief system about myself? What do you believe about yourself? Like, what do I believe about myself that is underneath the pursuit of this realm of GNM? Because a lot of times, I believe at least, mothers start out on their journey with GNM and they realize underneath it all, oh my gosh, I am literally just trying to keep my child from being harmed in the world. Or I'm just trying to keep my child from ever, ever, ever being sick. And I just want my child. And like then bringing in this concept of like the book Recall Healing, maybe there was a family death in the ancestral line. And maybe that is something that we're moving away from. And we're stuck in this fear state because someone experienced a very intense family death. Yeah. In your ancestral line that you still feel as like a DNA biological memory, and therefore how can I keep everybody safe? And so that element, like I said, just becomes medicinal to feel yourself in that state and be like, why do I feel so frenzied about this and that? Because I want you guys to know listening that this can come into your field and you can play with this in your field in an immensely beautiful way that is in like that you feel ease with. And that is my hope for mothers, is that they feel ease with, otherwise it becomes the next fear thing, right? Of like fear of this, therefore I must fix. as opposed to, oh my gosh, what can I learn about myself? What can I learn about our energy field as a family? And we use the phrase family ecology in our container. It's a Michelle Chatham phrase, my mentor. The ecological family system is like being able to look at your entire family field versus just centered on your child. Yeah. For that conflict and for that energy. And what do you know about, like, because I feel like in GNM too, they say that children don't express or don't feel conflicts. Is that true? Or is it more?
No, definitely. So, I mean, like from a biological perspective, you know, we talk about like biological thinking a lot in GNM. And when you're thinking that way, you know, it's very important to recognize like children are conscious from the moment of conception. Mm. Like how we're conceived matters, you know? Okay. And children can absolutely experience conflicts, you know, in the womb and birth in those early years, and it can be their own. And then also everything that the mother is experiencing, child is also is living vicariously through the mother. And so if you're dealing with you know, a young child, then always okay, how are they conceived, you know, mm-hmm. what was the drama of the pregnancy, like what was the parents' relationship, how did the birth go, like, you know, looking at the mother's experience, like say if a child expressing a separation conflict, then okay, how could the mom have had a separation conflict? Mm-hmm. So definitely like there are obviously two distinct beings, but you know, like that mother baby dyad is so important when it comes to experiencing conflicts.
It's huge. Mm-hmm. And something that I actually experienced, I find that it all happens at the same time. The reason I asked that question too is mm-hmm. in the GNM Facebook group, I remember posting a question when I first found it, and it was related to my son.
Yeah.
And I remember some of the responses being, oh, children don't experience conflict. And me being like, oh, interesting. As in, oh, is this the belief system of like Homer? And like, cause I knew that it didn't resonate with my system, but I was like, oh, where does that come from? Kind of a thing.
I don't think so. I mean, you might maybe, I don't know which face, you know, there's a lot of people who say different things maybe in the GNM world, but no, I mean, children absolutely, you know, can experience conflicts. It does tend to be if it is the baby experiencing their own conflict and not through the mom, then it's, you know, it tends to be more literal, like a morsel mm-hmm. conflict for a child. It's like, well, what kind of morsel is a 9-month old baby seeking? I mean, it's the milk and maybe the foods that they're interested in trying.
Totally.
But it's not like the older you get, the more symbolic, the more like, you know, you have the capacity to imagine like endless horror scenarios. And so you could get very extravagant in what type of things you could, you know, become conflicted about. So in a lot of ways, it does tend to be more simple the younger that someone is.
It's so true that it's simple. And that's why I love, she and I were talking about like the milk, dairy and like how a lot of mothers navigate. Do you want to share that story with my daughter? Again, my daughter just like, once again, that second born thing and first female too. I come from older brother, me, younger brother, she's older brother, her, and I love the like invitations there, mm-hmm. but very often in my space, will we have a circumstance where a child is born and food is great and the mother is well nourished, and yet there's this one particular food that babies are quote unquote reacting to, and often it's dairy. And of course then we get
through the mother's breast milk.
Through the mother's breast milk. Thank you for that clarification. So through the mother consuming dairy, and then how the breast milk is processed in the baby from there. And so you can see so clearly like in the diet realm, like what is the easy thing? It's just removing, and like we call it good because dairy is inflammatory and quote, like all the things that you would hear in the space. And I know you used to be, you used to not consume dairy. And do you consume dairy now?
Oh yeah.
Um, And I know like all these different psychological pieces of like why mother or like why people remove dairy. But with mothers in particular with babies, I had a very interesting experience in navigating some calibrations with my relationship with my own mother during the time that I was, it was in my child's first year of life. And so it's funny because I had my other experience of like, oh, like when I was 9 months old, my mother left and I must have felt a certain way about that. Or maybe I did. I don't even want to put a for sure on that, but maybe I did. But when my daughter was very young and a few months old, like first 6 or so months of life, anytime that I would consume dairy, whether it was raw or pasteurized or even butter, I would notice that she would have a harder time digesting it. And the stools would actually become a little bit more sticky and they had a very distinct smell to it. And it got to the point where I finally identified like, maybe it is a dairy thing, which is so interesting because I'm like, minerally, like we're good. Nutritionally, we're good. Like bioenergetically, we're good. Like that, all those ideas of like, what would create a situation where we can't digest this from a nutrition perspective. And what I realized in hindsight, because there was a moment, and this was more of an aha moment I had in the last year and a half when looking back, because again, we resolve these conflicts sometimes just by living our lives and walking the path that we know is aligned for us. I was going through, some calibrations with just like my relationship with my mother and just how I saw her as a human and like bringing in like awareness for where she's at and where I'm at. And basically over that time, which was a matter of like a big, powerful circumstance that happened in a couple of weeks, my daughter was suddenly able to digest dairy again. And so when I discovered the Recall Healing book, when my friend Molly recommended it, and I'm going through and understanding more of the symbolism of dairy and the symbolism of relationship to the maternal, relationship to mother, it was an immediate aha moment of so many circumstances that I've seen. And since then, in my space, in my course community, this is what is so cool that I was talking about earlier, is often people will ask a question. So like, let's say I was like, hey, my daughter's not digesting dairy. What do you think? It's almost like when we speak that thing out loud, something in our brain offers us the thing underneath that conscious thought. It's like the subconscious comes through. And what happens often in my space is somebody will ask a question and then right underneath the question, they'll like type some sentence or something that they don't think is relevant to the question. When I'm like, oh my gosh, the words are literally offered to you from yourself and you, the answer is already within the question. And so what I started noticing after that awareness came to myself is so often mothers would post a question, or I would hear in person about a mother talking about babies digestional issues with dairy. And then in the same exact conversation, something coming up about their relationship with their mother. And it also could be baby's conflict with mother and separation. And there's all sorts of things how it could play out as well. But the most common energetic that I've seen is when the mother herself is almost experiencing like a rejection and a not even able to digest like that relationship with her mother at that time, which makes so much sense just from an incremental perspective of like becoming a mother, having a like third generation, and then navigating like things that come up for you, you know, in understanding your own ways of being parented and like you feeling things about that. And there's just feelings involved. And so that was just, it's been an interesting thing to watch play out, is mothers be able to calibrate that.
Well, it's just, it's so powerful to have the realization like, oh, right. Dairy is not just like a, you know, particular like molecules going into your body, you know, like it's not just physical. Like, what does dairy mean to you? Or what does any food, you know, any input, what does it mean to you? You know, and milk, you know, such a charged, like, of course, probably like the most charged. I mean, it's our first food, right? And so, so much like laden in that. And so, yeah, it makes so much sense. And I think that's the gift that GNM. I mean, so many gifts. But what one of them is like you don't have to restrict. Like it's instead of restriction, you get resolution. Mm-hmm. Right. And those are two very, very different ways of living your life.
Totally. And it's been cool to see even from that perspective of like dairy and then like let's say meat, for example. Like mm-hmm. I would see dairy being very maternal, meat as this very like masculine thing. Mm-hmm. And it's been cool to see even that navigation and conversation expand to people like seeing the time periods when they would cut out meat or when they weren't able to digest meat or when their children refused meat, when mom and dad were having mm-hmm. conflicts and the mother was rejecting the father. And like, there's so much from there with the symbolism of understanding these pieces of like tradition and mom and dad that are so important in the way that we digest food. 'Cause it's how we digest everything. It's like literally how we digest everything. Yeah. And it's just such a beautiful holistic picture of.
Yeah. Well, and it's just like, I mean, it's like too much to probably get into here, but for me, the like never ending expansion now, because once you really develop a relationship with one pattern, right? So like GNM, I mean, there's like many patterns within, but let's say, you know, the structure, the five biological laws, like the patterns that are revealed there, then you start to think in pattern. And then it's like, then you just realize, oh, pattern doesn't begin and end like at this biological level. It's like the whole structure of the universe, of the cosmos is also in pattern at every level, and learning to like, to see that and to come back into coherence with that, like the pattern versus, I mean, that's kind of like, that's what our modern world is. It's just like in every possible way, like kind of being as dissonant with the way things are meant to be, with the pattern of nature, of reality, or whatever, of which, you know, the five biological laws are one part of that. It's all just gets very trippy once you open it, but everything makes so much more sense also. Mm-hmm. Like it's like so many more things make way more sense after you learn how to see pattern.
Yeah. And that's why I think it's so vital for if you're in the space of GNM or even just that interest and that scope and the awareness of wanting to open yourself up to having those aha moments. Actually, I think it was Dr. Melissa Sell who taught this to my friend Molly, and she was telling me about how, you probably already aware of this, you may have talked about it on the podcast, but the German tradition of like how this came about was like kind of like a village orientation of people coming together in like a circle, and it was called, I think she said it was called the thing. And it's like a regular rhythm on like, let's say a Tuesday, where people circled up and talked about like, this is what I'm experiencing. And the village kind of comes together and like brings in what that person needs to resolve certain conflicts. And mm-hmm. what's interesting is when I discovered GNM and had that landing place of like, done, I feel totally like penetrated in the best way by this, that field of people became so clear around mm-hmm. me at the mm-hmm. exact same time. And even like my next door neighbor at the time of bringing in that awareness, we just used to sit outside of our house and just like discuss in a very, like I said, it's just an open way. And that's what's so cool about like kind of like bouncing off with people is if you're only in your own process, which is great for certain periods,
yeah,
to bring that out into that more communal biological design of like speaking with other people, I think that also brings in not only objectivity, but that sense of ease of like, I have support in my life. And like, you know what I'm saying? So that's been really cool to see how innately and naturally we have wanted to discuss these things with groups of people. And I think it's so cool to hear about the origins of GNM and be like, oh, this was already like written into ancestry for a long, long, long period of time of people gathering and discussing like, this is what's coming up. And what does that look like?
Well, you know what I'm thinking of here, because, you know, obviously with your like background in nutrition and that being like the original, like or I guess still, you know, a massive pillar of your work. You know, and I was a big Weston A. Pricer, like, you know, reading Weston A. Price's book, Nutrition and Physical Regeneration, like that. I mean, I left university and became a farmer, you know, like I like that changed my life when I was, well, I must have been 18, I think, when I read that. And if people haven't read, you know, you can just Google the photos, but the photo, like it's profound, like what he's showing, right? So people who don't know, you know, he was like an American dentist and he kind of left because he couldn't answer people's questions of like, well, why am I still getting cavities, you know, and I'm doing everything. And so him and his wife traveled the world, I think for like 10 years to basically visiting intact indigenous communities all over the world. And then he would also visit sort of like on the outskirts of these towns, like where those communities had been recently sort of westernized or colonized. And he would photograph their teeth. He would, you know, track their health and basically just showing how like incredibly vital these indigenous communities were, you know, perfect facial structure, no cavities. And he was like taking samples of their food. And so then, you know, the Weston A. Price Foundation is based on what he discovered. And I think it's like 13 principles of, which are all based around what these people were eating. Mm-hmm. It's very compelling, you know, when you read it. Mm-hmm. It's very compelling. And I mean, there's clear truth in it, basically in what he was observing, which was pattern also, right? Like the pattern, like the dietary patterns of these people, even though they were living in very different parts of the world. And then when you learn German New Medicine, I mean, I remember when I like, when this clicked for me, I was like, oh my God, that yes. So he was visiting intact indigenous communities. And what does that mean? That means mm-hmm. these people were living within a like cultural, like an intact cultural rhythm, right? So yes, they were eating beautifully nutrient dense foods, but they were also like eating the same foods that their parents had ate and their great-grand, like for generations. And there was no, like, if we look at the criteria for a conflict shock, you know, like surprise being a big piece of that. Well, I mean, you know, everybody in your small community, you know, every year's rhythm, you know, it's the same every year, and you do not move very far away from your family. There is like, you know, some kind of spiritual tradition that's intact. There's elders, there's like community practices, there's all these things that are going on that mm-hmm. that now all of us are trying to reorient to find, because we're realizing that is where balance is, that is where, like, you know, the least kind of conflictual lifestyle, that these traditional ways are the biological ways, you know, these weren't just like arbitrary ways of living, they were actually to be in harmony with our biology. And then realizing like, oh yeah. And then he went immediately to these communities that had just been like freshly destroyed, westernized. And what was he looking at? He was looking at their teeth and how they had completely just eroded. And we're talking in like not even one generation of like births at this point. Mm-hmm. And from a German New Medicine perspective, we're looking at, you know, a self-devaluation bite conflict in the mouth. Mm-hmm. And how would you, like a bite conflict, there's two different ways that it goes. But in this context, my guess, the way it was experienced was, you know, the authority coming in, this colonizing force, mm-hmm. completely ripping you out of your community, out of your food sources, everything. I mean, you cannot bite back. The lungs, like tuberculosis, you know, a death fright conflict. And it just makes, like, what could be more conflictual than going from like in a beautifully intact culture to just being ripped right out of that to something that you don't even know anything about at all.
Totally.
And so that is just like, whoa, like realizing all of that was very transformative for me. And that, you know, that Weston A. Price really saw something, but that like the correlation doesn't equal causation piece, you know, mm-hmm. and that what he was like, you know, measuring of like how nutrient dense the foods were, that's not the whole story. And maybe not even the most important part of the story.
Totally.
Yeah. Big. That was a big realization.
You would love my mentor's work, because basically she took Weston A. Price's work and then expanded it into what she calls like a pyramid of stability. And it is right in line with the biological laws of like, she's like, Weston A. Price fantastic, fantastic work. And she also raised her kids, Weston A. Price, like nutrition wise.
Yeah.
She was in the world of dentistry and brought in this integration of like what she could not unsee, which yeah. is the idea of like all these other pieces and framework of what makes someone a human and how that contributes and essentially creates the expression of their mouth, their jaw, the energetics of the teeth, the jaw expansion. Like it's so beyond. I think Weston A. Price, like honestly though, legacy maker in the sense that yeah. he kind of went out and I feel like he paved the way for
this is no beef. I mean I'm so grateful for him. Yeah.
I totally agree. I just love the way that he like it's almost like he just like went out, dropped a little pebble in the ocean and he was like, you guys get it. Like the rest of us are like further expanding his work. And it's just so cool to watch how he was just like a pioneer in that framework of looking at patterns, like you said.
Yeah.
And then now what do we get to do as we evolve and bring more awareness into it? And I think it's so fun to see how that like ripple effect has come into play.
I mean, I think it's also, we spoke about this maybe a couple of weeks ago, like you know, outside of this recording, a viewer just saying that you, you know, had been observing how like the women in your space, like have been receiving GNM very differently recently and very like, oh, actually like, tell me more about that instead of like, you know, what's this woo woo crazy stuff. And I think that's where like, you know, they're like Weston A. Price, like that's also what people could have received at that point in time was nutrition.
Totally.
And then that something is shifting now where women are very interested in the five biological laws because they've done everything else. Right. And there's still stuff going on. And so it's all happened in like some perfect order.
Mm-hmm. That's where I found my most aligned way to show up in holding a contained space like that is just pointing people back to their own language that they use. Cause it really puts the sovereignty like and responsibility back into their own hands where they can look at their exact life circumstance and then just look at it from a different perspective versus like, here's this thing. Oh, have you thought about this? That's like way out here. I tried that way. And I think certain people like, it just landed. I mean, people that listen to your podcast, I see your podcast shared in my space all the time. And there have been people from the very beginning who maybe even found it before me. And it just resonated and landed immediately. And then with other people, I think it's important for them to see the words and the language they use and then be able to expand that way. And it's been really cool to watch the slow integration of these pieces into my space that was so only nutrition and lifestyle and supplements, and then watching it expand and then watch that slow softening of people also expand alongside it.
Yeah. It's so good. It's so fun. I mean, I love that. It's so fun to like, I mean, it comes back to the pattern thing, but when you start listening and you know what you're listening for, then you like, yeah, someone's language. I mean, you don't even have to know what's in, I mean, I've done that in sessions where someone's, you know, telling you about some other thing. We're working on another symptom and I'll be like, do you have constipation by any chance? Because now like I work with enough people, I like realize like, oh wow, there really is like every symptom has a state of consciousness and a thought pattern with it. And if you got 10 people, like they're using the same structures to their sentences and in their words, and like that language becomes like a brain scan. I think it takes a long time to like develop the capacity to, and I can't do that fully at all, but I can see, like, I can start to see how that could become, And I know people who kind of think that way where, you know, because of the synchronicity on the three levels that, you can look at a brain scan and you could read someone's health, but you can also just talk to them and you would access the same information. And so, yeah, the more and more people who have the skill and everyone, you know, we're all learning, I think it's just going to blossom because we're all going to get better at like helping other people see their stuff. And then once you see it once, like you experienced, right, you just.
Yeah, there's so many great ways to even identify that. I mean, I have like two that are my favorite because they come up a lot. But in conversations where there's like certain adjectives used, One is a phrase, spreading myself thin. Like if I'm talking to a mother and she's like, I'm struggling with this and this, and I can't put on weight, and I just feel like I'm spreading myself thin. And that phrase, I'm like, hold on, can you go back and just say that phrase one more time? I have had that conversation no less than, well, I think it's been more than a couple dozen times now with people either in my space or in person who are like, their body is responding in the same way that their psyche is speaking. It's just that window. And then my other one, that's my favorite, this happens even more common, is the thyroid and time. Because the thyroid is a master receptor of time. And then time comes up in their language a lot, where it's like, I feel like I don't have enough time. I don't feel like a time is getting away from me. And how do you have enough time in the day? And this idea of time coming up, or like being rushed through things. I'm so rushed, hurry up. Like those time words come up very commonly in my space with people who have a hypothyroid expression, where the thyroid is essentially slowing the body down to have enough time because they're feeling so rushed through life. And so there's chicken or egg, but there's a wonderful window of language and the body. Yeah. And if people can just start like listening to the things they tell themselves, it becomes abundantly clear what's going on.
Yeah. I don't know how much time you have, but the one other thing that I maybe just to hear you speak briefly on, we've really discussed it at all on the podcast, but it's like so huge and so important, is the like relationship dynamics. And I love seeing, you know, just see your stuff through Instagram, like addressing, you know, these like husband and wife, you know, male, female, relationships, and how, important that is to the health of not just the couple, but also their children. So obviously we could talk for hours about this, but I'm just curious, maybe just a little bit on that.
Yeah, it's, I hear my husband coming in with my kids right now, but maybe I can sum it up in like 3 minutes, is just this idea that so many women go out on the front lines, let's say, whether it's the holistic sphere or whatever, and they're doing research and they're just going on these lifestyle shifts outside of the union of partnership. And if I can like sum it up in like one sentence, you will find yourself dancing and dancing and dancing around and around and again to the underlying element of union and the things that you will be searching for, that I've witnessed so much, both in myself and mothers in my space, is there's this like, there's an endless, unquenchable hunger to fix the things, quote unquote, that show up in our life. And it really could be more simple in the sense of, if we have that like unity, and this is what we expand in our offering, but like that unity being that, like my mentor calls it like a battery charger. Like if that is coming together, and of course that sounds more simple maybe than it seems, in the sense of, okay, but this and this, and he's this, and he won't do that, and I can't convince him this. And like, obviously there's all the stories that we tell ourselves that come up, and all the different dynamics that are very valid in your circumstances, and how can we move those needles and walk forward. But there are so many circumstances in my life where there has been that, yeah, unquenchable hunger for like, what is that thing, when the thing has been right in front of me, in being top three, top two most important things in the energetics of expression and symptoms in our children. And actually, one of them that I can share as just an example is, both of my children for a while were doing a like cradle cap kind of like, it wasn't flaky. It was actually more, of like a protective like layer,
like a little helmet,
and only like on the top of their head, which is, I think Dr. Melissa Sell calls like, something with the connection with the father or the masculine. I can't remember exactly what, and I won't get into the weeds there, but doesn't even matter. Doesn't even matter what it is. It's the fact that I noticed it And I would like comb it off and like do the oil thing and then, you know, ocean water dunks and blah, blah, blah. And it kept coming back. And my husband and I at the time, I was sleeping with my daughter in our family bed. And then my husband was actually sleeping at night with my son in another bed because we couldn't fit. I believed that we couldn't fit all in one bed. But one day, for a myriad of reasons, we decided to just energetically create the space and believe that the space is there for all of us to be unified in a bed together, and especially for my husband and I to sleep next to each other again. Within 2 days, gonzo, hasn't grown back, completely gone. And yeah, maybe I would call that cradle cap, but I see cradle cap be maybe one of the most common things that shows up in babies. And a lot of times in the holistic space where there's a co-sleeping mama and they're doing the family bed situation, but the husband is in another bed so he can sleep at night and blah, blah, blah. And that doesn't necessarily need to be like a A plus B equals C of like, oh, it's the bed, but it's like the idea of that unity being at night when we're in theta and when we're subconsciously. And you've talked about this on your podcast before, that idea of like subconscious, like integration, that idea of even just that alone was huge. And that's like a micro story of what else has happened in our family as our family has come together. But even like, I'm convinced even if I showed up, like if I like did like, I wasn't testing my hormones at the time, but like if I did like a hormone test, quote unquote, we would see hormonal, like, I kind of wish I had, I don't even necessarily resonate with testing anymore, but like, I kind of wish I had for the experience of just kind of watching what might have shifted during the time that we went from disunity into unity. Yeah. And even just rebalancing like masculine, traditional, not in the sense of maybe what we're seeing on Instagram as far as like trad wife, trad husband stuff, but just like biological masculinity. Biological femininity, and then watching the fruit unfold from there, it's been incredible. And I find that that's just like so often all I need to say is these simple things for families to go back and start thinking and being like, oh, I already know. Like
it's the permission to actually know what you already know in a lot of ways. Yeah,
that is such a great way to describe it. It is the permission to know what you already know. And this is the conversation I have more often than anything, is if someone has something going on and I ask them, what is the piece that's out of alignment in your life? And what is the piece that you know would be more in alignment in your life? They already know. It's like, no one needs to tell them. It comes from the inside. It's it's already the piece that's right there in the forefront of their mind that they want to lay out. And then for us, yeah, like with the family bed situation, it was like, I know that the most aligned thing would be for us to come together and sleep in one room, at least for the first 7 years. Like I've just always felt that with my son, and to watch like, okay, we're still going to co-sleep, but like be disunified. And like, I knew alignment for us was coming into a bed. And so finally I just was like, well, let's just do it then. Like, let's just go be aligned in the pieces that we know we can create, and create that space where I did not think that there was a space before. And we're about to do a webinar on this in our Rooted Families group, but I'll say one more thing, that my son, his mandible, his jaw, and his teeth have actually expanded space-wise since we have created space spatially in our house. It's kind of like a spatial alchemy perspective of like where you create, and this is like my mentor's work and her phrasing too, but like where you create space in the home is going to show up in the child. And so that idea of like, where are the areas that I thought we didn't have space to do this and that, and listening to my language there, and then also see how our bodies create space. Yeah. And then once again, it points back to Weston A. Price, where I'm like, that's such a, if we probably looked at those like intact communities, we probably saw so much like little spaces and families just feeling so abundantly spacious inside those spaces and feeling so supported. And their body's feeling supported, generationally feeling supported, and then watching how space happens from there.
Oh, this is the perfect place to end. I hope people can, like, what I want people to take away is like, this gets to be so fun, you know, and like so creative and so intuitive. And it doesn't have to be, you don't have to take the rigidity from an, you know, into GNM. you get to like applying this doesn't have to be like, doesn't have to feel like the learning GNM.com, you know, it's like it's very dry and very, you know, the way that it is, it's wonderful, but it's also challenging. And it doesn't, it, when you actually get to the point of fluency, then in your real life, it's just so enlivening. And that's like, that's what I want people to know about this. It's just, I so appreciate the way you've shared in this conversation, because I really feel like you hold that so well. Just the spaciousness and the like expansiveness that can come from this. It doesn't have to feel like another thing to do, another thing to feel bad about, another thing to, you know, not be the perfect mom about. It's just like,
I mean, enlivened is the perfect word. I just love that so much. And I hope that lands with those listening, that like, check in with yourself, like ask yourself that question of what this experience gives you.
Yeah.
Empowerment, enlivenment, and maybe empowerment could even feel like rigidity to some people, but enlivenment and ease is a whole different energetic. And I love the way you describe it. And I feel that in your, I feel like people that come back to this podcast and listen to these episodes and hear these conversations, especially the ones between mothers, it's just like such a beautiful invitation. And I love that you're creating this space for people. It's amazing.